welcome in to another edition of Unpopular Opinions. I'm Chuck Taylor, and as always, I'm brought along with my trusty co-host, Casey Cobb. And Casey, do you know why I'm so upset today?
You sound pretty down, Chuck. Tell me what's going on, man.
Well, I'm upset because this is our last podcast of the year, which means college football has turned another leaf and another season is coming to a close. Just real unfortunate news, don't you think?
Man, I am right there with you, you know.
I was
telling Sharon, you know, whenever it came around, like, God, this is my favorite time of the year. Like, I look forward every year to college football in the fall, one of the bright spots of my life. And, gosh, we only got two more days until the college football championship. And, yeah, I don't know, man. It's got me down, too. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling pretty bummed, Chuck.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It always goes by so dang fast. I mean, it's as soon as you look up, it's already week 10 and you're talking about conference championship week and then bowl season. I mean, it just blows by in a blink of an eye. But one thing that I am looking forward to is this podcast itself, because so many things to talk about, so many cool things to talk about. It's bowl season. We had some great bowls. And what I want to do with you first, Casey, is kind of do a quick scan of the bowls, kind of the mentionables. I'm going to mention a bowl that I want to highlight. If you have one after I talk, I'll ask you about any one in particular.
Sure.
Then I thought we'd recap real quick the Texas and Texas A&M bowl games and then talk about our picks real quick and then preview the championship itself. So we'll kind of breeze by this, not spend too much time on it, but you know, we had bowls like the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl right there in Frisco that happened before our last podcast. Kent State taking that one home 51-41 over Utah State. we had some different ones, the bowl with SMU in it, the Boca Raton Bowl, SMU coming up short against Florida Atlantic 52-28. Things like that. But the one that I wanted to point out and talk about was the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. This one out in Annapolis, Maryland. It featured the North Carolina Tar Heels against the Temple Owls. And Casey, if you haven't heard, Mac Brown is back.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they beat the crap out of them, didn't they?
55-13, the final score. Yeah. Heck of a bowl game for North Carolina. Did you watch any of that? Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't watch any of that. But, you know, pretty excited for Mac. Pretty cool to see him come back and get back into coaching, you know, where he started. You know, he was at North Carolina before going to Texas. And, yeah, pretty happy for him. I like Mac Brown. I didn't like him much when he was at Texas. But, you know, in hindsight, I can like him a little bit more and had some pretty gnarly dance moves in the locker room after the game too, so he still looks like he likes to have fun and still has got a little bit left, you know.
Man, yeah, they love having fun with him, and took a team that had I think two wins last year and to take them to a bowl game this year is just amazing. And then they romped Temple to finish the season 7-6. So way to go, Mac. You have a bowl in particular you want to talk about before we get into our bias bowls?
No, you know, the only other thing I would, you know, let's bring it up later in the podcast. We'll bring this other game up that happened in Frisco today later in the podcast. So,
okay, yeah. We'll talk about that. Okay, we'll bring that up later. Well, yeah, we're just, you know, Navy beating K-State was a big one. Air Force taking over Washington State 31-21. There were some really interesting games.
That is one I was surprised about. I thought Washington State would be able to win that one. And, I mean, they didn't. Air Force was able to hold on and control the clock, control the game. So, yeah, that was an interesting game. I did watch a little bit of that one, watched the beginning of that. And, you know, Washington State started off, you know, went right down the field and then just couldn't capitalize, and Air Force took care of their business.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned in our last podcast the differing styles of those two. You got Mike Leach's air raid offense against the classic military option run offense, although Air Force isn't quite as heavy as the Navy and Army and the other military branches, but still two differing ideologies clashing there. So that was made for an interesting game. But moving on, let's talk about the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl. This one played in Houston, right? NRG Stadium. The number 25 Oklahoma State Cowboys, the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. Casey, your Aggies came out with the win in this one, 24-21. What do you want to highlight in this game?
A&M came out pretty flat, man. I mean, Oklahoma State came out firing. They scored two touchdowns in the first quarter. I was feeling a little bit frustrated by that. Didn't look like A&M could get anything going. Really flat even throughout the first half. Got a touchdown in the second quarter. And, then they got one in the third quarter. And then Kellen Mond really just kind of took over. You know, he didn't have a huge game passing the ball, not huge numbers, but 13 to 19 for 95 yards and one touchdown. But what he did is, when it mattered most, you know, he made it happen. Had a long run, scored a touchdown. He was our leading rusher in that game with 117 yards. So as maligned as he has been in this season with his decision-making, with his passing, he really showed up in that game and showed some character and showed some strength. One player of the game. And, if it weren't for him, I don't know, we could have won that game. It was a really good game. It was a lot of fun. Chuba Hubbard still got his yards. I was interested to see if we'd be able to hold him back. He still got 158 yards, but our pass defense was much better than I expected it to be. And our receiver stepped up and made some big catches in the game as well. So, feels good, right? Feels good to beat a top 25 team. Oklahoma State's a dangerous team. Gives us some hope for next year. Got some great recruits coming in. So, and I don't think we'll be playing, four or five teams that were in the top five, three number one teams throughout the season. So hopefully we won't have quite as difficult of a season next year. But, yeah, I'm pretty hopeful for what we've got going there down in Aggieland, Chuck.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch this game very closely. I saw snippets of it. It looks like Oklahoma State started Drew Brown at quarterback, although they did give Spencer Sanders a couple carries. I don't know what that's all about.
Right.
But, for Oklahoma State, Chuba Hubbard and Braden Johnson were their two weapons. Braden for five catches for 124 yards and a couple touchdowns, and then Chuba, as you mentioned, 158 yards on the ground. Really kept them in it. But yeah, this was the Kellen Mond show for A&M. 12 carries for 117 yards rushing and a touchdown. He also had one through the air. So yeah, Kellen Mond really got it done in this one. It looked like just had enough to carry them up and over and take the Aggies to victory in this one. But pretty good game, looked like.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It was. And I was getting pretty worried there for a little bit, but all ended well. So we're happy down there in Aggieland for a few more months, and we'll see what happens this fall, my friend.
Yeah, they got the fast start, Oklahoma State did, but A&M came back and made it worthwhile. So moving on to Texas's bowl, the Valero Alamo Bowl out there in San Antonio in the Alamo Dome. You had the number 11 Utah Utes against the Texas Longhorns. And, I felt a lot like I did going into this one that I did last year with Georgia, where everyone kept saying, there's no way Utah's going to run over, blah, blah, blah. And I just kept thinking back to Herman's bowl record, which is now 4-0. Kyle Whittingham, the head coach for Utah, had, I don't know if he still does, the best winning percentage in college football in bowl games. He was 11-2 going into this game. Now he's 11-3. But Texas takes this one home 38-10. The defense, man, the defense really stepped up, held Zach Moss to 57 yards on the ground with an average of 3.6 a carry. I mean, that's an All-American running back, all Pac-12 running back. Tyler Huntley, you know, being a game manager isn't going to light you up, but we held him to 126 yards through the air with a touchdown. So our defense really won this for us. And then Sam just kind of took care of business. He had the interception. It was really negligible, the interception itself, but he had 201 yards through the air with three TDs. Keonta Ingram stepped up and had a 108-yard rushing game with a touchdown. Ellinger had another 73 on the ground with the TD. So it was kind of an all-around team effort. I mean, it was a lot like the Georgia game last year where, you know, this one wasn't as close scoring, but it was kind of dominated on all sides of the ball. I mean, just about every facet of the game, Texas was in control and just took it to Utah and showed up and had a great bowl game. Now, I think Texas fans want to see that bleed into next season and kind of see that during the regular season. But, yeah, great New Year's Eve bowl win for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think the defensive effort by the Longhorns was awesome. You know, and Utah, we thought Utah had a great defense. Of course, it's in the Pac-12. Their defense has been ranked pretty high in a lot of the categories all year long. But, yeah, Ellinger was able to come in there and really do what he needed to do. Three touchdowns, right? That's not too shabby. And their defense just really shut Utah down. Utah could not get much going at all. So, yeah, really, really strong performance by the Longhorn defense.
Yeah, yeah, it was a fun New Year's Eve to see that. It really didn't hit me until the next day when I woke up because I was watching that and I was, you know, trying to be a party host. So it, yeah, but really, really great New Year's Eve for that. So moving on, we had some bowl picks. We picked the New Year's Six bowl games. Let's start in your home backyard, my former home backyard in Dallas. We got the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, which featured number 17, the Memphis Tigers, against the number 10, Penn State Nittany Lions. Casey, I had Memphis winning this one 41-29. You had Penn State winning 28-21. The final out there in Dallas was Penn State took this one home 53-39 in a barn burner. For what I saw on this game, Memphis just could not stop Penn State's offense. What'd you see?
No, they sure couldn't. You know, Memphis came out strong, got 13 points in the first quarter, looked like they were going to be able to hold their own against Penn State. But, man, by the time the second half came around, you know, Penn State was just able to grind them down, man. They had a huge second quarter, 28 points. Wow. Four touchdowns in one quarter. I mean, the second quarter, they just really put it away. You know, it's the difference that you have, right? You know, it's not too often you're going to have a major team like Penn State lose to a team like the Memphis Tigers. We like to see the group of five teams do well. It's kind of fun, but you know, when push comes to shove, you got Penn State, blood legend, Big Ten team that has played some really tough games all year long against tough competition. And I think it really showed. They just had more talent across the board, better coaching, and they were just able to do whatever they wanted on offense. Man, it was really a masterful performance by Penn State. I'd like to have seen them hold Memphis down a little bit. I mean, Memphis still got 39 points, but you know, Penn State shows why they're a Big Ten team, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, going into it, I said that I thought Memphis was going to score points. They got that great offense coming out of the AAC, and Brady White definitely lit it up. He threw 51 passes, 454 yards, and he didn't throw a touchdown, though. He had two picks. But, you know, the Memphis defense, I mean, Sean Clifford's not going to light the world on fire. That's not really his game. But right. Journey Brown with 202 yards and two touchdowns. He averaged 12.6 a carry, Casey. I mean, that's just – unreal. And yeah, Memphis's defense was just not ready to stop that Penn State offense. I think that's what it came down to. I highly underestimated Penn State's ability to move the ball on the offensive side. So moving on, let's go down to Florida to the Capital One Orange Bowl. This one featured Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. This one featured the number 9 Florida Gators against the number 24 Virginia Cavaliers. Casey, I had Florida winning this one 30-13. You had Florida winning 33-17. Pretty close. Florida took this one home 36-28. This was a little bit closer than we thought, and it's kind of more the Virginia I thought we'd see in the ACC championship against game against Clemson. But Virginia didn't let them run away with this one, huh?
No, they sure didn't. That's one I didn't get to watch. It looked like it was a good game. But, you know, the Florida Gators have played pretty well all year long. And Virginia, you know, playing in the ACC and really kind of getting steamrolled by Clemson, you know, they ran up against a pretty good team in the Florida Gators, and they just were not able to compete and hold their own against them, you know. I mean, their quarterback, 28 for 40, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, the passing game was going, but, dude, they could not run. They have a total of 10 yards rushing, Virginia did. So, you know, whenever you're relying on just one aspect of the game, just passing the ball and not being able to have that run game in there, it's really going to cause problems for you in the long run.
Yeah, it did. But Bryce Perkins is all you need to know about this game. Virginia's quarterback, I watched a lot of this game. He is just a gamer, man. I mean, he would not give up. He, you know, near the end, it looked like Florida was kind of pulling away, and he roped him back in 14 fourth quarter points, and he would not let Virginia give this one up. Just a big gamer there. Bryce Perkins, a lot of heart, and yep. He had a really good game for them. But, yeah, Florida just a little bit too much for him in the end.
Yeah. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. I saw 10 yards. They only had 52 yards rushing. So, yeah, you know, 42 more yards than I said.
Yeah, the long of 10. Yeah.
Yeah,
so moving on, we got the Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual out there in sunny California. This pitted the number 6 Oregon Ducks against the number 8 Wisconsin Badgers. Casey, I had Oregon winning this one 38-27. You had Wisconsin winning 34-31. The final out there was 28-27. I'm so mad I didn't get to watch this one. I was driving home New Year's Day. Casey, what did you see in this one?
Hey, you know what? I predicted what I predict. I predicted like a really close game, didn't I? I predicted 34-31.
Wisconsin,
yeah. I just predicted the wrong team, right? Like, so I was close as far as like it being a really close game.
That is true.
Two teams that are really talented, and I was expecting Jonathan Taylor to be able to run roughshod over the Oregon Ducks, and you know he still got 94 yards in the game, but Justin Herbert, you know, just led his team, captained the Ducks, and they were able to squeak this out against Wisconsin, you know, yeah.
Yeah, this was a pretty defensive battle. You know, I mean, the score is not – it's kind of in that mid-range, but neither offense, you know, nobody really lit it up. You know, Jonathan Taylor, like you said, got close to that 100-yard mark. Jack Cohn had an okay game, but Justin Herbert was held down and C.J. Verdell were held down for Oregon's offense. That Wisconsin defense really came to play. Oregon had just enough – in the end to pull it out, but a really great game it looks like in the Rose Bowl with Oregon coming out on top. So moving on, our last New Year's Six game before the CFP was the All-State Sugar Bowl, and this one featured the number 5 Georgia Bulldogs against the number 7 Baylor Bears. Casey, I had Baylor winning 28-23. You had Baylor winning 21-17. And the final was 26-14, but it was Georgia's way. Georgia not succumbing to the hangover repeat of last year in the Sugar Bowl. They came to play this year, and they beat the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, I really, really wanted Baylor to win this game, you know. I mean, they played Oklahoma so well and had such a great season. They had Charlie Brewer back, you know. I thought Charlie Brewer might be the difference maker in this game. And, you know, alas, it was not to be. Georgia's defense, you know, was just a little bit too strong for Baylor to keep them under 14 points. And Baylor's defense, which has been pretty strong, just could not stop the rushing game of Georgia. You know, they were able to rush. They were able to throw the ball to George Pickens for 175 yards. So, you know, pretty just a heavy dose of Georgia, good old hard-nosed Georgia Bulldog football, man. And the Bears just didn't have an answer for him that day.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised DeAndre Swift only had one carry for 2 yards. I don't know if he was sitting out for, draft implications or if he was hurt, but I don't know. I didn't get to see this game either. I was on my way home and then got home late and didn't get to see this one. But, yeah, Baylor just kind of got outpowered a little bit by Georgia. They were a little bit on too big of a stage, I think, and Georgia took advantage of it. But with that, we're headed into CFP talk. So, Casey, let's go with the less exciting bowl first. This one was the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl out there in Atlanta. This one had the number one LSU Tigers against the number four Oklahoma Sooners. And, Casey, man, if you tuned in at halftime expecting to see a pretty good game, it was not to be. This one was 63-28 final. So I had LSU winning 48-34. You had LSU winning 45-38. And the final there was, like I said, 63-28 LSU. Casey, this was a is there any other way to say it besides a bloodbath?
Yeah, it was bad. And I watched the first half of this game. I mean, it was over by halftime, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, LSU just did whatever they wanted. You know, people talked about OU's defense being stronger this year and Jalen Hurts being the key to them being able to compete against LSU. But what are you going to do, man? Like, Joe Burrow was on fire, you know. 29 out of 39, 493 yards, 7 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he couldn't miss. I mean, he threw the ball, and they were just pinpoint passes. His receivers had Velcro on their hands to catch those balls, and Oklahoma didn't have an answer, and Hurts couldn't get going. They're not a team that can come from behind. They're not designed to be able to do that. And once LSU just kind of put their foot on the throats of the Sooners, it was over, man. Halftime. I mean, it was something else. I thought LSU was going to beat them, you know, handily. I just didn't think they're going to beat them quite this handily.
Yeah. OU just got outclassed. I think they got down so fast that they weren't really able to implement a big part of their game, which is Jalen Hurts' running attack. I mean, they got down so fast that he wasn't really able to run the ball. He still had 43 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns, but he was down so much so fast that they couldn't really open that part of the playbook. So CeeDee Lamb got his yards, and Jalen Hurts did an admirable job. But I think the only real question in this game is who's the MVP, Justin Burrow or Justin Jefferson? Or, sorry, Joe Burrow or Justin Jefferson, because Jefferson had 14 catches. 14 catches for 227 yards and 4 touchdowns. Did they even have a cornerback on him? Or did they – like, you can't catch 14 catches if you're open – if you're unguarded every single play. I mean, that is beyond video game numbers. It's just insanity. So, yeah, I think that's the only real question to this one is who you give the MVP to. But right, this one was over before it started. So with that, they punched their ticket to the championship game, and they will play the winner of this next game in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl out there in Arizona, Glendale, Arizona. This was the number 3 Clemson Tigers against the number 2 Ohio State Buckeyes. Casey, I had Clemson winning, and this is not a typo, 29-26.
Are you serious?
You had Ohio State winning 38-37. The final in this one, 29-23. Too bad I didn't go to Vegas with it, although I would have lost anyways. Yeah, crazy, crazy game. If you didn't see this one, this is all-time college football. Heck of a game. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Incredible game, exactly what the people wanted. Casey, what do you have to say about this one?
That's the game I didn't get to watch. I did have to go to bed, and I missed that one, man. Yeah, you know, I thought Ohio State had enough to be able to beat Clemson. I was concerned because because of the Clemson schedule of being in the AAC. But, you know, Dabo's had done an excellent job of coaching, right? He's a great coach, and I think he had them well prepared for this game. He's been talking about how they haven't been getting any respect, being the underdog, and he probably parlayed that into really kind of getting those guys motivated for that game, Chuck. And, man, I mean, I'm so upset I missed that because that looked like such a great game, you know? I mean, Justin Fields scores had two interceptions, and those turnovers could have been what really hurt them the most, you know?
Yeah, it was it was such a great game. I mean, so many people showed up. Trevor Lawrence did a great job through the air and on the ground. 107 yeah, yards on the ground.
Yeah, 107 yards on the ground. Trevor Lawrence, what is he, like 6'5"?
Yeah, he had the 67-yard rush, which really helped that. But he had 107 on the ground with a touchdown, 259 through the air with two touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, the running back for Ohio State, did what he does, 174 yards on the ground with a touchdown and 47 more through the air. Justin Fields had a pretty admirable game, 320 yards. He had the touchdown, but he did have the two interceptions. So Travis Etienne was a monster for Clemson too. But this one was just an all-time classic, just such a great game. And I hope – we can only hope to expect similar results in the championship game itself. But with that, Clemson punches its ticket to play LSU in the championship game. And before we go on to talk about that one, let's update the season scores. Casey, I got 4 right that time around, and you got 3 right. So unfortunate news is that I move into the lead 32-28 over you. Now, the other news, that's the bad news. The good news
What's
is
the good news?
The good news is that Santa brought you a present, and that is that this championship game, the CFP National Championship game presented by AT&T and Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana, Monday, January 13th, in 2 days, this game, this pick, is going to be worth 5 points. That's right. This game is going to be worth 5 points. I'm up 32-28. The odds are not against you yet. The door has not shut completely yet. And so let's get into it without further ado. The number 3 in the nation, Clemson Tigers, against the number 1 LSU Tigers. We got what we wanted, and that's Tigers on Tigers. The line right now, Vegas has it as LSU is a 6-point favorite, but the matchup predictor has a 55.8% chance going Clemson's way to win this game. Casey, I can't wait to hear your prediction. What do you see happening Monday night out there in Nawlins?
What do you think I'm going to say? It's going to be the LSU Tigers, Chuck.
I like your clarification there, the LSU Tigers.
LSU Tigers. And interesting fact I found out through my research this week, right, is that Clemson is the original Death Valley.
That's right, because they're both Death Valleys. Yes. So Clemson is the original.
It is the original Death Valley. Now, LSU, because of the noise, back, I can't remember how many years ago, they used to call it Deaf Valley, D-E-A-F, as in you can't hear anything. And then eventually it kind of morphed into, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s, into Death Valley. So Clemson, the original Death Valley, is going to lose to the pretenders of Death Valley.
Ah.
The LSU Tigers. They're going to lose 38-21, Chuck.
38.
There's my 5 points. There's no way you're picking Clemson, but let's see what you got to say.
38-21. Man, that's so they cover the spread handedly and 17-point favorite.
Yes, sir.
Casey, you know, I was going into the whole week, the whole past couple weeks, I was going in telling everyone, yeah, LSU, you know, LSU's probably going to win, LSU's going to win. But I sit down here today and I give you the 5-point window, and how fun would it be if I picked LSU? But not only that, let's talk about Clemson for a second. Clemson has won 29 consecutive games. That's the highest active FBS streak.
Mm-hmm.
They're the reigning national champions, and that 29-game winning streak means they're 14-0 this year, as is LSU. Trevor Lawrence, as a sophomore quarterback at Clemson, has never lost a collegiate football game. He just, that's the whole stat. He's never lost. He's 29-0. No, not 29-0. But he's whatever and 0. He's never lost. He's undefeated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yet Clemson is still picked to lose by almost a touchdown. The backhanded disgrace, the disservice that they are serving Clemson in this game, as was the case last game, is just laughable. So here's what's going to happen. Dabo is going to get his team raring to go like he did in the CFP semifinal, like I predicted. Dabo Swinney is going to outcoach the LSU Tiger. Why did I just blank on his name?
Ed Orgeron.
Yes, thank you. God, I kept having Joe Burrow in my head. Dabo is going to outcoach Orgeron. Okay, Orgeron's going to be all hopped up on Red Bull and crawfish that they're gonna sleep on Clemson just like everyone, just like Ohio State slept on Clemson, and Clemson's gonna come out and win this game in LSU's backyard in Nolens. There's gonna be crying LSU fans leaving the stadium thinking this was their year, and alas, it was not. Clemson's gonna win their third national championship in 4 years and overtake Alabama as the kings of college football heading in to the 2020. So with that, the final score will be the tie. You know, I'll place a $5 million bet on this one, Casey. I bet the Tigers take this one home.
All right, man.
$5 million bet. Tigers take this one home. You got that, right?
Yeah, of course I do. What are you talking about? Yeah,
Tigers are going to win this, but specifically the Clemson Tigers. And here's my final score. My final score is 31-28. Clemson takes it home. That Clemson defense is something else. They will not stymie Joe Burrow, but they will slow the train down. This is going to be the best defense LSU has faced all season. Yes, I said it, even though they play in the SEC. This is the best defense that LSU will face all season. Heard it here first. Clemson is going to take this one home. So –
all right.
Make sure you tune in Monday. This should be a heck of a game. But with that, those are all of our picks. Casey, do you have – I know you wanted to talk about you previewed the FCS championship game out there in your backyard in Frisco, Texas. I hope to hear that you were on site for that one. But before that, do you have a Casey's Briefcase Player of the Week for us?
What are you talking about, man? Let me look over here and see. Russell Randall here. Open it up. All right. All right, Chuck. Casey Cobb, briefcase player of the week this week. Sorry, I can't talk. Man, I'm getting Joe Burrow, dude. I mean, come on. You got to pick against him. Seven touchdowns. So, I mean, what are you going to do, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. Against OU, against a team that's ranked fourth in the nation, he just tore them apart. 29-39, 493 yards, seven touchdowns, QBR of 239.8. Absolutely, he is one of my briefcase players of the week. We could arguably give it to Jefferson as well. You know, those catches he made were amazing, okay?
Okay.
But he could be an honorable mention. All right. I know you liked what he did, so we'll give him as an honorable mention. And then I'm also giving it to you. Mentioned him earlier, Journey Brown.
Journey Brown for
Penn State.
Penn State. Yep.
Yeah. You brought that up, and I put him down as one of my players. 16 rushes, 202 yards, 12.6 yards per carry, and two touchdowns. You know, he just took it to him. You know, he just ran through their defense like it was butter. So those are my two briefcase players of the week with a nod to Jefferson for LSU as well for his outstanding catches that he made in that game too.
Very nice. Yeah, Journey Brown definitely won that game for Penn State. Memphis was hard to stop on defense, but right. They could not stop Brown. And then also Joe Burrow, we talked about the video game-like numbers for both him and Justin Jefferson. Very yeah. well-deserved for both of those guys. And guys, as always, trophies in the mail. So
right. coming to you.
So, yeah, with Casey, I know you wanted to just briefly mention this. The FCS championship in your backyard happened just this afternoon in Frisco, Texas. Were you on site to watch the Bison win their eighth title in the last 9 years?
So I drove by there on the way back from the office because I forgot my phone. And they were lined up in the snow and the cold this morning, getting ready for that game about 9 o'clock this morning. Lots of yellow walking around, lots of people saying, "Oh yeah, how are you? Oh, good to see you. Oh geez, oh my." Lots of North Dakota people out there today. And then I drove by again during the game, Chuck. So I could see it. I was like yards away from the game, but did not go into the stadium, Chuck, but what a ridiculously amazing story. They were able to get an interception, goal line stand, to get their eighth championship in 9 years. That is astounding. I don't know what they're doing up there in North Dakota, but that is crazy, Chuck.
Yeah. I didn't watch this game. I actually forgot until not too long ago that this game was today. But, yeah, the North Dakota State Bison took on the James Madison Dukes. I believe this is a repeat of last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. James Madison, you know, North Dakota State has won eight of the last nine. Well, James Madison won the one that North Dakota State did not win. I think that was in 2016. So they're the only ones that have been able to challenge North Dakota State. But ND State took this one home 28-20. And their dominance continues, even though they lost Chris Klieman to Kansas State. They charge on. And, my full take on it has been for the past 3 or 4 years that they need to be moved up. The Idaho Vandals were moved down from FBS to FCS 2 or 3 years ago back to the Big Sky Conference. And I don't know why there has been a delay in ND State moving up, but they clearly need to be moved up to FBS. I know they're not in support of that, but it needs to happen real soon. But with that, I don't really have a final take. I guess would say RIP to Neil Peart, the very famous Rush drummer, passed on earlier this week. And Rush's music obviously has touched millions over the years. And our thoughts and prayers are with Neil's family. Big loss to rock and roll this week. So with that, Casey, we are all wrapped up on this season. We'll see how the championship game goes. Go Tigers. I think we can all say that.
Tigers. Go Tigers. Definitely.
But with that, thank you guys all for tuning in again this week and this season. It's been a fun ride. It's been an awesome time. I think I speak for Casey and myself when I say thank you guys, and we hope to be back next year for season 3. But until then, make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast, share us on any social media platform you want, and leave us a rating or review. Let us know how we're doing and how we did. Until next year, he's the briefcase. I'm Chuck Taylor, and this has been another season of Unpopular Opinions. We'll be right back.